Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 681. Beginning with the fifth verse, we'll read responsively through verse 12. After reading that passage, we'll turn to one other verse, just a page over. The 12th verse is the text verse for this morning's message, as well as another verse to which we will turn later. Proverbs 14, verses 5 through 12. Let's stand, please. We'll read the verses responsively. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom, and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn now to chapter 16 and verse 25. Just a page over. The 25th verse, let's read it together, please. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And let's pray. We do thank thee, dear Lord, for this occasion, this time of the day that brings so many people together. Thank you for all of these who've come. Thank you for these who are our guests. Thank you for these who come regularly, dependably. Thank you for this great church family. But especially we thank you for our preacher. We pray for thy help, for thy power, and for thy great blessing upon our service. We pray for certainly an obvious presence of the Holy Spirit, the changing of lives, the winning of the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Those of you who are visiting this morning and you're saved people, let me promise you, you're about to see something you've never seen unless you've been here. We see it every Sunday, but you're about to see something that you have never seen unless you come back again. You may never see this again in your life, what you're about to see. To those of you here this morning, and you do not know that you're going to heaven when you die, you're about to hear as plain a presentation of how you can go to heaven as you'll ever hear in your life. I promise you, nobody in this room this morning is going to ask you to become a Baptist. I promise you that. Not one single person in this room today will say we'd like for you to be a Baptist. We would like for you to be a... Well, I just got to saying it, didn't I? But we would like everybody to be Baptist, of course. But far beyond that, we want you to go to heaven when you die. And you're going to hear just as plain a presentation of how to go to heaven. You know, there's one thing we all have in common. All of us want to go to heaven when we die. You may not. You may be a Baptist, you may be a Catholic, you may be a Presbyterian, you may be a Lutheran or a Mormon or whatnot. But I promise you this, you want to go to heaven when you die. And if you don't believe in a heaven, you wish you could believe in a heaven, because everybody wants to live beyond life, and everybody wants to live happily beyond life, and everybody wants to live in a place like we call heaven. So I'm going to ask you for the next 30 minutes to sit up straight, look right this way, and listen carefully as I present to you a message about how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. I rarely ever preach an evangelistic sermon. Most of my messages are to my people. But usually on the opening day of the spring program, and quite often the opening day of the fall program, I present a sermon evangelistic message, and that I plan to do this morning. Well, you say, how about the saved people? Say nothing saved people enjoy more than to hearing how they got saved. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, it's just going to be the old story that we've loved so long. Our Heavenly Father, the eternity of hundreds of people hangs in the balance right now. I do not know a bigger responsibility that could be on the shoulders of a man or the shoulders of a church than to be in the presence of hundreds of people, literally hundreds of people, whose eternity hangs in the balance for the next 30 minutes. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd help as I speak. Would you speak through me and with me, please? In Jesus' name, amen. God made man. He placed him in the Garden of Eden. Don't miss what I'm saying. He placed man in the Garden of Eden. He told man that there was one thing he could not do, and that was eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What that tree was doesn't matter. Whether it was an apple tree or whether it was a peach tree, doesn't matter what it was. It was the fact that God had limited man to everything but one tree in the Garden of Eden. God said, if you eat that tree, that'll be sin. And God had said, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So God placed man in the Garden of Eden. Man could have not eaten that tree and live forever. Or man could eat that tree and die, not because he ate the tree, but because he disobeyed God. That's what sin is all about. Well, by the way, let me say this. Hey, don't forget this. It was not God that sinned against man. It was man that sinned against God. I'm going to come back to that. So that'll be running all through the sermon. It was not God that sinned against man. It was man that sinned against God. So, immediately, Cain, and every one of us since then, who realized that we had sinned against God, he says, I'll plan the way back. I'll plan my own way back. I know what I'll do. And by the way, all of these things sound reasonable to me. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But there's a way that seems right to me. So, I know what I'll do, says man. I will plan my way back. Now, here's what I will do. I will come and ask forgiveness. And I know when I ask forgiveness, God will hear me. That's what I'll do. Another man says, no, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll not do this. I'll never eat again of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I've eaten that one time. I'll not eat again. I'll turn over a new leaf. Are you listening to me now? I'll turn over a new leaf, he says. That seems like it's the way it ought to be. Oh, no, says another man. No, he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to live a good life. And I'm going to plan my way back to God. Now, bear in mind that God and man have been alienated from each other. And man said, I'll plan my own way back to God. So I know what I'll do. I'll live a good life. I'll be a good husband. I'll be a good father. I'll be an honest man. I'll be a faithful man. I'll be a loyal man. I'll pay my debts. I'll be a good citizen. And that way, that's the plan whereby I will get back to God. But wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Hold on just a second, folks. The sinner doesn't plan his way back. The criminal does not plan his own parole or pardon. The sinned against is the one that makes the way back. So man is a criminal against God. Man has sinned against God. So man does not have a right to make his way back. That means but it seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to a man. It just seems right. If I ask God to forgive me, he will. But it's not that simple. It just seems to me that if I turn over a new leaf, that'd be what I need. Or it just seems to me if I live a good life, that's what I need. Or it seems to me that if I just become a good man, that's exactly what I need. But now, wait a minute. It doesn't matter what I think, because I'm the sinner. It doesn't matter what you think. You have no right to make your way back. And you cannot make your way back because the criminal cannot make his way back. Brother Colston, put on those handcuffs and step up here right quickly, please. And hurry. Today. Come on, John. I knew I should have chosen somebody else. Should have got one of these young men. All right, Brother Colston, why don't you get yourself unhooked here? No way he can. Why? He's bound. He can't unbind himself. No way he can unbind himself. And you can't unbind yourself. But you say, Brother House, this is the way I feel about it. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You're the crook. God's the one sinned against. God's got to make the way back. But you doesn't, Brother House, it makes sense. It doesn't matter what makes sense to you. Because you have no right to make your own way back. You can't make your own way back because you're the sinner. And, okay, I know what I'll do. You just stand here, Brother John. And now you can sit down, though. You got to keep them on because you haven't got a key. Just sit down. You have thought to bind him to the chair or something. But, okay, that won't work. I cannot make my own way back. I mean, I'm the criminal. The bound, the one in bondage, cannot unbind himself. Listen, you can no more decide how you go to heaven than he can decide to get unchained from those handcuffs. There's nothing he can do. He is handcuffed, and that's how helpless you are to save yourself. But you say, Brother Hiles, you and I just don't agree. It doesn't matter a flip what you think or what I think, because we're the sinners. And the one who is perfect against whom we've sinned is the one who makes the way back. Oh, so I it seems to me that the thing to do is live a good life, turn over a new leaf, and I'll get way back. Oh, I know what I'll do then. Hey, I've got a good... Brother John, come up here, please. I've got a way. I'll tell you exactly what I'll do. I'll find another man. You see, I'll find another man. And I will make him my leader. And I may even dress him in a robe. And I may put a funny looking hat on him. Hey, listen, fellas. Listen to me. I'm preaching here. I'll put a funny looking hat on him. I may call him Reverend. I may call him Father. Come up here. Reverend. And I'll make another man. Put them on quickly. Here. Atta boy. See how quick he's doing that, John? So, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to take this man. But bear in mind, he's bound too. But I'm going to put a nice robe on him. I'm going to call him Reverend. I'll call him Father. I'll call him Rabbi. I may even call him Pope. But it's not going to do any good because he's bound too. You say, you mean the Pope's a sinner? Well, I tell you how you can find out. See if he dies or not. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If the Pope never dies, chalk it up, he's a good man. He's not a sinner. But so far, all of them have died. All right? So this, you're reverend. And here's what I want you, here I'm going to do. It just seems to me that if you'll give him a little glass of juice, that'll unbind him. So give him a little glass of juice there. Now you drink it. Well, he's still bound, isn't he? And just like all the sacraments you take and all the Lord's Supper you take won't unbind you either. But you say, Brother Howes, it just seems right. Doesn't matter what it seems to you. God makes the way back. You don't make the way back. The sinner does not plan his own pardon. The sinner does not plan his own way back. Then God and man became estranged. Man was the one who was the offender, and the offender does not plan his own way back. And by the way, another offender can't plan his way back either. So my reverend so-and-so here is also bound. And so am I. And so are you. And so is your preacher. And so is your denominational leader. And so is your rabbi. And so is your pope. And so is your priest. All of us are sinners. There's not one about without sin. Consequently, all of us are bound. Hey, what you do? Put some ashes on his head. Look at him, folks. He's still bound. Well, I'll declare. Is there anything he can do to unbind him? No, because he's bound. He's the same shape he is. Well, what we can do, hey, confess your sins to him. Turn this mic up.
Oh, Lord help me.
You're not through. You send more. I know you send more than that. Hey, he confessed his sins to him. Look at here. He's still bound. Well, I'll declare.
You say that's the way it seems to me. It doesn't matter how it seems to you. It's how it seems to God that matters. God is the sinned against, and the sinned against is the one that makes the way back. You don't make your way back. But you say, Brother House, it seems right to me. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way, well, it just seems like if I turn over a new leaf, there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But it just seems like if I start living a good life, become a good husband, a good father, a good citizen, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But you said, it seems to me, if I ask God to forgive me, and that's all, but there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't care what the way is, if it seems right to a man, it's not the way back. God's got to make the way back. But wait a minute. There's something else that seems to me. I know what I'll do. I'll get a bunch of these folks that are handcuffed together. Fellas, come on up here. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. First, we'll not get these handcuffs on. I should have gotten younger men. Come on up here, fellas. Hey, I know what we'll do. We'll join, we'll organize in the first handcuff church of Hammond. This is the way it seems to me. It seems to me if we can get a bunch of handcuffed people together and you join them, you'll be free. Seems that way to me. I don't care. Okay, so you join this church here? It's the first handcuffed church of Hammond, Indiana. Wonderful, wonderful. And you're the pastor of the first handcuffed church of Hammond, Indiana, right? Right, I see. Okay, well,
are you free?
He's still bound. Why? Listen to me. I'm preaching up here. Listen to me. I'm not playing ball. I'm preaching. If you got anything to say, say it to God right quickly. Ask God to save the souls of men and open the eyes of men who are lost without God to save their souls. Now listen to me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means the preacher. That means the deacon. That means the priest. That means the pope. That means the rabbi. There's none righteous. No, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us are bound by sin. Pray tell me, how can we save ourselves if we're bound by sin? Somebody tell me how another can save us if we're bound, if he's bound by sin. And pray tell me, how can a bunch of bound people save each other? You go inside a jail or a penitentiary. One person, please keep the folks out of the auditorium right now. One person inside the penitentiary can't save another. And all the people inside the penitentiary can't save each other. Somebody from without must give a pardon. And that pardon must pardon those one on the inside. That's the only hope in the world. Now listen to me. But you say, Brother House, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Episcopalian, or I'm a Christian Reform member, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist. It doesn't matter. Every member of your church is bound. All have sinned. All have sinned. There's none good. There's none that doeth righteous. That means they're all bound. So he cannot unbind himself. And his preacher cannot unbind him. Baptizing him will not unbind him because he's yet bound himself. Giving him the wine of the juice at the Lord's table will not unbind him because he is bound himself. Giving him the sacrament will not unbind him because he is bound himself. Let me tell you something. If this preacher here does not get born again, he's going to hell. And if the priest doesn't get born again, he's going to hell. And if the pope doesn't get born again, he's going to hell. And if the rabbi doesn't get born again, he's going to hell. I'm saying one bound person cannot unbind another, and one bound person cannot unbind himself, and a group of bound people cannot unbind each other. There must be one. There must be one. Somebody who has the key of death and hell. And that person must be one who's not bound. Oh, look. He isn't bound. He isn't bound. He comes and He alone can unbind him, for He isn't bound. And He can unbind him after He unbinds him. He's free. And He can unbind him. And He can unbind him. Not very quickly, but He can. Somebody who is not a sinner has to save you from your sin. Somebody who's never tasted the dregs of sin has to save you from your sin. If I stood this morning and said I could save you, I'd be an imposter. If your priest stood and said he could forgive your sins, he'd be an imposter. If your rabbi stood and said he could forgive your sins, he would be an imposter. If your church said, join us and we'll forgive your sins, your church is an imposter. Why? Because your preacher is bound by sin. And your rabbi is bound by sin. And your pastor is bound by sin. Your denominational leader is bound by sin. Your pope is bound by sin. Somebody who is not a sinner has to come and unbind you. Praise God, there is somebody who's not a sinner. He has the keys of death and hell. He comes and unbinds you. Thank you, fellows. You forgot one. You left the right ones on, Clyde. Thank you very much. Now listen to me. You may live to be 100 years old, but you'll never see your inability to save yourself as clear as you saw it a while ago. Now you listen to me. Don't you trust me to save you. Don't you trust that tank to save you. Don't you trust that table, what's on it, what'll be on it at community time to save you. Don't you trust this church to save you. Don't you trust your sprinkling to save you. Don't you trust anybody who's bound to save you. A bound person cannot unbind himself. A bound person cannot unbind another. And a group of unbound people cannot unbind each other. It takes someone who's not bound. But 2,000 years ago, in the manger of Bethlehem, there came a babe called the Christ child, born of a virgin, lived for 33 years on this earth, never sinned one time. His eyes never saw what was wrong to see. His ears never heard what was wrong to hear. His mouth never spoke what was wrong to speak. His hands never took what was wrong to take. His feet never walked where it was wrong to walk. His mind never thought what it was wrong to think. His heart never planned what it was wrong to plan. He lived for 33 years. Thank God He never sinned one time. He is the one who can unbind you. May I tell you very carefully His plan. Not the way that seemeth right unto a man, but His plan. You have no right to draw your plan. You're the sinner. You're the one who forsook God. He draws the plan for you to come back. No man has a right to draw your plan. No church has a right to draw your plan. No denomination has a right to draw your plan. God has drawn your plan. Listen carefully. There are four things you've got to know. Your eternity, your heaven or hell, hangs on this. Hundreds of you, whether you die and burn in the fires of hell forever, whether you walk the golden streets in the presence of our wonderful Savior, where nobody ever gets sick and no crepe darkens the doorknob and no cancer or disease ever enters and no illness and no tears and no heartache and no broken hearts and broken homes and broken dreams and broken air castles ever enter, whether you go to hell and burn forever or go to heaven and rejoice and shout and praise God forever, depends on whether you hear what I'm saying right now. Four things you've got to know. First thing you've got to know is that you're a sinner. There's not one person in this room this morning who has not sinned. Not one. Second thing you have to know is because you're a sinner, you owe a debt. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What is that? Bringeth forth death, the way that seems right to a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. You owe debt. Now that death is called the second death in the Bible. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, "This and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Hey, all of us are sinners. All of us are sinners. All of us owe that debt. There's a third thing. This Savior I mentioned a while ago, named Jesus, came to the earth and never sinned one time. Because He never sinned one time, He did not owe the debt, did He? For sin bringeth death. Since He did not sin, He had no death. So He did not owe the payment. But after He had been here 33 years, He went to the cross. And on the cross, He charged, hear me now, He charged your sins against His record. Third thing you've got to know is that Jesus has already made arrangements for you to be unbound. Your arrangements won't do. Your plan won't do. His plan won't do. His plan won't do. His plan, 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 or my plan won't do. And your plan won't do. But you say, "Brother House, it just makes sense to me." It doesn't matter what makes sense to you. You're the sin. You're the sinner, not the sinned against. He who was offended is the one who makes the plan of reconciliation. First thing you've got to know is that you're a sinner. Second thing you've got to know is that sinners are lost because you owe the debt of death. The third thing you've got to know is that Jesus Christ on the cross dipped His own soul in the torments of hell and paid your sin debt for you. Listen to me. Fourth thing you've got to know. Listen to me. Fourth thing you've got to know is if you will come to Jesus. And in your heart say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know that You paid my debt for me. And this moment I accept You as my Savior and as my hope for heaven. Rely upon You to take me to heaven." The moment you do that, God writes your name in heaven. Your sins are gone and you will never face your sins. You'll go to heaven forever. But you say, "Brother Hiles, don't you have to quit all your sin?" The moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, somebody comes in to live in your body. And that somebody is the Holy Spirit. And He'll begin to clean house after He gets there. He doesn't clean house before He gets there. He cleans house after He gets there. You can't clean our house out in the street. You've got to clean it inside the house. All you have to do is you've got to say to Jesus, "Yes, Jesus, I don't trust my church, my preacher, my priest, my rabbi, my pastor, my reverend. I don't trust communion. I don't trust confirmation. I don't trust being sprinkled as a baby or baptized as an adult. I don't trust that. Jesus, I trust You." Simplest way I know is this. Nearly every Monday morning of my life, I go to O'Hare Field in Chicago, the airport. I get on the airplane. When I get on that airplane, I trust the pilot up there in the front to take me to my destination. I don't know how to get there. I don't see any signs along the way. I don't know how to get there. That pilot knows how to get me there. And I trust that pilot to take me to my destination. And I've trusted him to take me to heaven as my destination. Look at me carefully. Everybody in the house, all over the balcony, in the mezzanine, lower floor, and those of you watching in closed circuit TV all over this property here, you listen carefully. You've got to die. And when you die, you've got to face God. When you face God, the only hope you've got for God to receive you is you to quit your plan and trust His plan. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, since I'm a man, if I tell you how to be saved, the end thereof are the ways of death. And since your pastor's a man, or your rabbi's a man, your priest is a man, your pope is a man, if he conceives a plan, it the end thereof are the ways of death. But hallelujah, God's plan is the way of life. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost and deserve to go to hell. I believe that Jesus paid the penalty for me on the cross and rose again after 72 hours as my high priest to go to heaven, intercede for me. I don't trust my plan anymore. I trust Your plan, which is a man Christ Jesus. You can go to heaven this morning if you want to. or you can go to hell if you want to. But you say, preacher, my time comes, it'll get here. Your time comes, first time you ever heard the message of salvation, your time came. And this is the time. This is the time. Are you listening? This is the time. This is the time. You have heard and seen this morning the simplicity of the gospel and the way to go to heaven. It's up to you. Accept it. Go to heaven. Continue at your own plan or any other man's plan or any other group of men's plans. And you'll die and go to hell. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that God hath made, and the end thereof is life everlasting. No one leaving. I do not know of anything more rude than for you to leave this service early this morning. God pity your soul when you stand before God if you do. I want everybody, no one leaving, no one reaching for your purse or coat, just very quietly, would you just bow your head and close your eyes? No one moving around at all. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed.